Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
Well, we have been talking about time, and there are many cliches and phrases that we talk about in relationship to time. We say things like, well, time marches on. We say, time waits for no man. And then we talk about having time on our hands or time to kill. Others try to make time. Some try to find time. Young people wish that time would go faster as they wait for a driver's license or a high school diploma, while the older folk would just like to slow down the hands of time just a bit. Some have tried to turn back time. Others seem to be somewhat suspended in time. And everywhere we look, we're reminded that time moves forward. We see clocks, we see watches, we see calendars. We see the movement of the sun, the moon, the stars, the passing of seasons. We're also reminded of passing time as we see those graying hair and receding hairlines. And then when people who are 30 somehow look like they're teenagers, we find that time is moving on. Time is very valuable. It's a valuable commodity. And it's valuable because we cannot really create more than we have. Someone has said to realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who has failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who gave birth prematurely. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the lovers who are waiting to meet. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask a person who has missed their train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask a person who has just avoided a tragic accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who just won a silver medal in the Olympics. Well, we can divide time up any way we want. We will never have more time than we have. If we want to be able to do the things that we deem to be priorities, then the only thing we can logically do is make time for those things that are important. One of the greatest barriers, I believe, to spiritual maturity is our lives, the busyness of our lives, the things that we do every day that seem to just ring every second and leave no time for some of those priorities. The real problem is that instead of controlling time, for many of us, time controls us. And unfortunately, for many of us, time is out of control. Well, God tells us in His Word that we need to be good stewards of time. And over the last several weeks, I've been sharing with you a translation of this particular portion of Scripture found in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. And it says in the New Contemporary Version, "So be very careful how you live. Do not live like those who are not wise, but live wisely. Use every chance you have for doing good, because these are evil times. So do not be foolish, but learn what the Lord wants you to do." Well, we still only have so much time in a day. Time is valuable, and it's not replaceable. And so we need to make time for the important things in life. And all the way back, it seems like it's just last Sunday, but really several Sundays ago, I began with the challenge of making time in 2009. And at that time, I basically set apart three goals. And looking at goal number one, we said that we need to make time for God. And that's pretty admirable. I think many people, as they evaluate the end of a passing year, will look into the next year and say, well, I would like to be closer to God this year. I would like to be more determined and more dedicated and intentional in the things that I do in my relationship with God. So that's pretty common. And I shared with you that we needed to make time for a couple things, and there's some bullets there. And the first thing we talked about was making time for the Word, spending time in God's Word. How do we really know what God is leading us to do if we don't ever listen to Him, if we don't allow Him to communicate with us? And so we talked a great deal about the importance of being in God's Word. We also talked about spending time in prayer and as an importance. Again, the idea of communicating, practicing the presence of God, being in God's presence, sometimes saying absolutely nothing, but being there. And then many times praying for needs, praying for one another, but making that a part of our daily time. And then we talked about worship, making time for worship. And how important it is that we make this a priority, that we gather corporately for worship. But worship isn't something that we do just for an hour a week or for even a portion of that time, but it's something that we ought to be doing every day as we live our lives as for God, giving ourselves as living sacrifices to Him. So we need to make time for God. The second goal that I shared with as we began this series was that we need to make time for others. And we have some bullets to talk about there. And the first one is making time to care. Recall the week we looked at the Good Samaritan, and we talked about how important it is that we begin to intentionally show that we care to other people. And the more and more I look at this, the more and more I am convinced that if we are going to really, really, really begin to reach the people who do not know Christ as their Savior in this community, it's not going to be as we stand out on the street and wave our Bibles. It's going to be as we're out there showing people that we care, truthfully. That is where people are at in our society. They are willing to link themselves with anything that will show concern for others. Unfortunately, there is a lot of not so good things out there, not so sound doctrine things out there that people are linking with. And the reason they are is because needs are being met. As a Christian community, we need to be learning to show concern and compassion for people in our community, for the people in our neighborhoods, the people in our families that need help. We need to be showing that we have that love of Christ in us. Well, not to re-preach that message, but the second week then we talked about making time to share. As I've been talking about this, almost somewhere between 80 and 90% of the people that come to know Christ as their Savior make that connection and enter into that relationship with Christ through someone they know, not from a stranger. And so how important it is that we're building those relationships so that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that we can show both by our lives and through our words what Christ is doing for us and draw others to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. And so we're it's relational. And so it's building relationships with others. Well, The last goal for us to look at is goal number 3, which says that we need to make time for ourselves. How many of you would say, I have plenty of time for myself? I don't see anybody raising their hand. Because you know the truth? If there's anybody, many times, the first person that we cut out is God. I mean, you know, you can hardly ignore that your children need to go to school. You can hardly ignore that there's things that you simply must do. You know, it'd be a little hard to pay the mortgage if you don't go earn a paycheck. And I understand all of that. And so, you know, we have a tendency to take care of that aspect, but it's many times without choice. But some people will choose to cut God out of the picture and to create more time. But it seems like the person that we cut out of the picture most of the time is ourselves. We really do. We cut ourselves out of the picture. And I need to tell you something. This is not easy to talk about. I do not do this perfectly. Okay, you already knew that. But I think we need to take a look at this and try to challenge ourselves a little bit. Well, first of all, when we talk about caring for ourselves, sometimes people think that's selfish. Anybody here that think that's selfish? Nah, not really. It's not selfish to take care of yourself. Now, some of you, as we move on into this message, might think it's meddling. Anybody want to think this is meddling? This is not meddling either, okay? Because truly, we need to make time for God. We need to make time for others. And we need to make time for ourselves. Let me try to support this with scripture, okay? I got to first tell you, I can't come up with a scripture that says, you are commanded to take care of yourself. So I can't find a commandment that I can put in there. But I think I can support this biblically, and I'm going to really try. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 39, we're so familiar with this passage, where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're asking him, what is the greatest commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All right, so a few weeks ago we said, well, you know, how do we love our neighbor? And the answer is, we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. How do we love ourselves? By making time for ourselves. What does it mean to love yourself? Well, some people would say, hey, that's pride. That's being puffed up. But maybe Paul gives us a little glimpse of that in Ephesians 5. And in Ephesians 5, he's talking about Christ and husbands. And he says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. So there's some self-care that we can mine out of that verses without becoming heretical. And I hope you see that. And the idea of self-care is becoming a very prominent thing in our world. Any of you work for a company that promotes self-care, maybe because of your insurance company or maybe because of your company's program? Does anybody? Mine does. Beginning the 1st of January, it became, what's the word, Doris? Mandatory. I want it to be optional. It became mandatory for any pastor and wife in the EC Church to be enrolled in a wellness program. And I now had to fill out a fitness and health survey. I now have this nurse calling me and asking me how I'm doing at reaching my goals. They sent Danette a pedometer. She must have said she lived a rather sedentary lifestyle, being a secretary and working in an accounting office and whatever. And I told them, I move around a little bit. So they just sent me a tape measure. Talk about humility. I don't even think anybody in my house knows where the tape measure on my desk came from, because I didn't have the guts to tell them. But anyway, this is becoming a very prominent thing in our world. And biblically, it is necessary for us to take care of ourselves. We are to be stewards of all that God gives us. You know, we don't have any problem talking about taking care of our talents and using them wisely. We don't have any problem talking about using our finances to bring glory to the Lord. And we forget about one thing, the temple. We forget about the temple that we are. We are indeed the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I realize in Corinthians, where it's talking about being the temple of the Holy Spirit, it's also talking about that in relationship to sexual immorality. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a price, so you must honor God with your body." And so, the fact remains that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we are to honor God with our bodies. And so today, as we conclude making time and making time for ourselves, we're going to look at three truths. And my friends, these are not the most friendly truths that we could look at. Are you ready for number one? Let's just get the worst one out of the way. All right? Number one, we need to make time to eat properly. I hear laughing. Somebody even left. No, just kidding. We need to make time to eat properly. You know what one of the biggest problems is? And I'll tell you what it is in my life. Danette and I can be so diligent. We'll do really, really well. We will eat like all these gobs and gobs of vegetables and fruit and little portions of protein and whatever. And then our life becomes harried and busy. And guess where we end up? Welcome to Burger King. May I take your order, please? And we're going through the drive-thru. Yeah, would you like fries with that? Sure! Would you like to go large? Sure! And before you know it, you're guzzling down the gobs of grease and you're back where you started from. My dietary plan is like, if you were to put it on a chart, it would look like this. Because, you know, usually like Monday through Thursday, it's like, wow, I'm doing really good. And then by the weekend, I gain everything back that I lost in the early part of the week. And I don't mind sharing that openly with you, because probably you could, if you wanted to be as honest as I am, you would say, that's me. I have this yo-yo diet. It's up and down. And that's really what we are. But the truth is, God is concerned about what we put in our mouths. God is concerned about what we eat. Think about it. Think about in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, and in Leviticus chapter 11 and in Deuteronomy chapter 14, and we're not going to go read it, but God described various things that he wanted the children of Israel to follow in regard to dietary concerns. And we're aware that when in Peter's vision, as recorded in Acts, he was shown all kinds of four-footed animals, and reptiles, and birds, and he was told that he could eat. In fact, in Acts chapter 10, verse 15, the voice spoke to him a second time, saying, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Now, we are not bound by dietary laws. We are given freedom to eat. Aren't you glad? The problem is that we exercise that freedom to eat sometimes way too much. The Bible teaches against overindulgence in every area. Now, as Christians, we like to say that we talk about overindulgence when it comes to alcohol. We want to use that as the model picture, all right? The truth is that the scriptures teach about moderation in all areas of life. So, let me give you some verses. Proverbs chapter 23, it says, "While dining with a ruler, pay attention to what is put before you. If you are a big eater, put a knife to your throat. Don't desire all the delicacies, for he might try to trick you." Imagine that. In later in the same book of Proverbs, chapter verses 19 through 21, it says, "My child, listen and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course." Now, there's a line for the heart association. It says, "Do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons, for they are on their way to poverty, and too much sleep clothes them with rags." Proverbs 15:16 is my personal favorite. It says, "If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it will make you vomit." Now, there's something to think about just before lunch. But of course, we need to understand that the proverb is not really about honey, but rather about self-control and knowing when enough is enough. It's about recognizing when you've had enough of something and stopping. Little Junior was learning how to apply his math skills one day because he observed that his father, after eating a big meal, sat down and moved his belt buckle two more notches open. And little Junior said, "Look, Mom, Dad has just moved the decimal over two places." But how many of us find ourselves in that state of affairs where we just take one too many trips to the buffet and we spend the rest of the day groaning? Been there, done that. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, "If I've not convinced you yet," it says, "so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God." And when we're being good stewards of our body, we are bringing glory to God. Whew. Let's see what gets easier from here. Truth number two. We need to make time to exercise. Groan. Go ahead, groan. You know what? The truth is that we go all the time, but we don't really exercise. Activity doesn't equal exercise. They're saying, "Okay, preacher, show me a verse that says, thou shalt exercise." I don't have one. But I do have something. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, from the Message, and of course, you might want to hang that on the source. But anyway, it says, "You've been raised on the message of faith and have followed sound teaching. Now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus, therefore, and you'll be a good servant of Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please." And so this is talking about spiritual growth. But then he says, "Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. And you can count on this. Take it to heart. This is why we've thrown ourselves into this venture so totally. We're banking on the living God, Savior of all men and women, especially believers." So there is a little bit in there that says that physical activity is useful. Now, when God created Adam and Eve, what did he say to them? "Why don't y'all just sit here in the garden and eat all day and keep your feet up and do nothing?" Is that what he said? But what are they supposed to do? Say it louder. Work. What is work? Exercise. Physical exercise. Problem is, some of us spend time at a desk exercising our fingers and our brains and not necessarily exercising our bodies. And I can identify with that really well. But the truth is that we have been given the direction by God to be mobile, to move around and to do something. And we also know that if we don't exercise, what happens? Do our bodies become stronger? No, they become weaker. Do our bodies become healthier if we don't exercise? No, they become unhealthy. And so the truth is that if we want to be good stewards of our body, not only do we need to watch what we shove down our throats, but we need to exercise. And that can fall on various levels. Some people, like my son Joel, who thinks that means spending 4 hours a day in a gym, you know, pumping iron, that's wonderful. That's not for dad. But spending some time in a gym, or even taking a walk. And I know some of you, what do you do in the morning, Pastor and Martha? What do you do every morning? They go for a walk. The other morning, he said to me, he said, well, it's too cold this morning, so we went to Walmart. They didn't go to Walmart shopping. They went to Walmart for exercise and to walk. Yeah, but Faye, you're there like this. I would give you some exercise. But anyway, it's known that exercise is helpful. There's a woman by the name of Beth Davis. She is part of an organization called Caring Connection, and she works challenging and helping missionaries who are in a crisis mode. And she says, after years of helping missionaries in crisis, she found that the most common issue among those in ministry is a lack of self-care, leading to burnout. She said those in ministry are trained to help other people, to love God, love others, and the loving them as yourself gets lost. She observed that those who are trapped in an unhealthy lifestyle show signs of burnout, anger, bitterness, loneliness, and guilt. They have deteriorating relationships and difficulty relating to others. Some become depressed and void of energy. And then she says she's a great promoter of exercising because she believes it helps those who serve God better. Interesting thought. To sum that point up, we need to be more active. Truth number three, we need to make time to rest. This is one of the difficulties that I also share in. I have been really trying to take a day off. The truth is, I migrate to my office and I work. This past week, I took a day off and I closed the office door and I stayed out. But I spent the whole day doing things around the house and working, cleaning, scrubbing floors and doing whatever, because Danette and I had too busy of a weekend last week to get anything done. And so I worked all day. And that is not rest. It's a day off, but not rest. And so it is a difficult challenge. I don't like to be idle. In fact, I can't stand being idle. It drives me crazy. But we know that our bodies are not designed to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God himself, when he created the heavens and the earth, rested. And God ordained that there should be a Sabbath or a day set aside. And in Leviticus chapter 23, it says, there are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work. Now, I'm not trying to say that if you go home today and you cook lunch, that you're breaking the Sabbath, although under the standards that were given here to the children of Israel, you would. And of course, we know that we do not observe this sacred assembly on the seventh day of the week. Jesus' resurrection occurred on the first day of the week, and since then, Christians have worshiped on the seventh day of the first day of the week, and that's why we gather on a Sunday. It is a day for sacred assembly. But for some people, it's not a day of rest. Some of you will leave here today and go home and do the things that you could not get done all week. Some of you will leave here today and go punch a clock somewhere and work. And I did that for 10 years. I went to church and worked 10 hours after that. And, you know, some of you have to do that. I would not want to be in the hospital and find out that there's no doctors and nurses there that day because they all had to take a Sabbath and I have nobody to care for me. It would be a little hard to do some of those things, and it's necessary. The point is there a time in our week where we put on the brakes and allow our bodies to rest? That's really the question we have to ask ourselves. Is there a place where we rest? You know, Jesus and his disciples were busy. You know, he had 3 years to get this ministry off the ground. 3 years. And you know what he did? He made time to rest. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, it says, "Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" And so, we need to make intentional time for rest. Some of you are looking at me like a 5-year-old that was just told it's bedtime. But the truth is, our bodies will not last for the long haul. You know, so many times I'm reminded when we do this family of the week and we pray, so many times people will have a concern on there that their health will hold up, that they will be able to be healthy enough to be active, healthy enough to continue to serve the Lord, healthy enough to work, healthy enough to do those things. My friends, if that's one of our goals, then we need to start taking care of the body that God gave us, in the way that he has asked us to do it. And he really has. And I don't really think that I stretched any scripture out of context today showing us that God expects us to take care of our bodies. He expects us to take care of ourselves. And so not only do we need to make time for God, and that's a real high priority, that's very important that we do that. And certainly we need to make time for others. We need to. But we also somehow need to make time for ourselves. And I know. I live in the same schedule world that you do. I wake up every day with the same amount of minutes and seconds that you do. And I don't do it all well either. But I think we need to intentionally do whatever we have to do in order to set those priorities in place. Time for God, time for others, and time for ourselves. Yuck, right? But we really, really do. And when it comes to ourselves, we need to make time to eat properly, we need to make time for exercise, and we need to make time to rest. Why? Because God says so. Right? Because God says so. As a child going to its parent and saying, "Why must I do that?" And the parent says, "Because I said so." And that's how God speaks to us. Because he says so. And so, how will you take control of time? Again, we'll never find time for anything. If we want time, we need to make it. How will you make time for God, for others, and for yourself? Father, you've given us challenges over the last many weeks. Challenges that sometimes hit very close to home. And today is not without exception. Lord, it is a challenge to balance our days. It's a challenge to manage our time and manage it well. We know how important it is to spend time with you. We know how important it is to have time in relationships with others. But Lord, so oftentimes we forget about how important it is to make time for ourselves. And so Lord, I pray that your Spirit would show us where it is in our lives that we need to make time for ourselves. And Lord, that you would give us the courage and the discipline to do just that. Lord, we want to be good stewards of time, good stewards of all that you have given to us. And so we invite you to work in us and through us, through your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.